Listen, when you get a good night of sleep, you know you're going to have energy. When that happens, you feel good. You feel awesome. That's why you need to be sleeping on a Casper mattress. It helps you get a great night of rest. You see, the Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams to give you a great night of sleep. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. Its breathable design lets you sleep cool, and this is something I didn't know. It also regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And let me tell you, there are lots of people raving about the Casper mattress. More than 20,000 others love their Casper mattress, giving it an average rating of 4.8. You cannot argue with results like that. And here's yet another reason. The price will not keep you up at night. You can also order sheets, pillows, and that will give you the complete Casper experience. Why is it so affordable? Well, Casper cuts out the middleman and delivers it straight to you. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. Right now, for my listeners, you can get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/jungle. Once again, casper.com/jungle. Use the promo code jungle at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. Once again, casper.com/jungle, promo code jungle. Welcome to the jungle. What's going on? A very good Thursday morning to you. I am Jim Rohn, broadcasting live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently with Quicken Loans. So how many of you thought that I was going to take the entire week off? All of you? Not me, because you know I grind hard. It's good to be back. What's up? Hope you had a good holiday weekend. Hope you had a great 4th. Nice to be here. Lots to get to. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. If you were looking for me and my thoughts on some things that went down the past couple of days, run it back right now. Hit me up. Once again, toll-free, wherever you can hear us, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rohn. Email me at Rohn, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Full show for you on this Thursday. We're open phones to start. Coming up at 40 past, Daniel Cormier, UFC light heavyweight champ, is joining us. That's at 40 past hour number one. Second hour is wide open. Third hour is filling up quickly. Got a story and a conversation with a former NFL running back. Do you remember Isaiah Pede? Unbelievable story. Was involved in an absolutely catastrophic auto wreck, car crash, where he lost his leg. And has come back and now is trying to be an Olympian. Isaiah Pede joins me. Amazing story. It's coming up in the third hour. Jarvis Landry also coming up in hour number three. Wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. Lots to get to. Smack Off is now 15 days out. 15 days out. I told you when I went into the basement at the end of last week that I would come back and we would lose a few more days and a few more shows. Now you're really running out of time. If you're not in the field yet, you want to get in right now. 1-800-636-8686. One email off the top. Rohn, hey, it's been a little while. Welcome back. Regards, Rohn to his Laker car flags. Steven PHX. War LeBron cutting Rohn off on the 405. Hey, Steve, I don't own Laker car flags. I don't own any car flag. Steve, you should know better. I don't root for anything. I don't root for anybody or anything except for one thing, that you'll stop emailing. I root for that hard, Steve. Every single day I wake up and I roll out, today's the day. Today's the day that bonehead stops emailing me. Steven PHX. Come on, man. You know I don't own Laker car flags, Duck car flags, Kings car flags, Rams car flags, Chargers car flags. I don't have a car flag, Steve. Just one that I fly on the side of my car that has you in a big red circle with a line through it. Steven PHX. I've got that car flag. Stop emailing me, bro. I'm not asking for a lot, just that you stop emailing me. All right, then. I'm going to forget that ever happened. Hey, how was your 4th? What did you do for the 4th? Did anything happen while I was in the basement? Oh, yeah, something did. Can't quite remember. Can't quite put my finger on it. Oh, that's right. It's this. LeBron James is an L.A. Laker. Let me repeat that. Because even though that was announced on Sunday, it's still pretty mind-blowing 4 days later. LeBron James is a Los Angeles Laker. And this time around, he could not have made that announcement in a less dramatic way. He released a statement through his agency, Clutch Sports, which read, quote, LeBron James, 4-time NBA MVP, 3-time NBA Finals MVP, 14-time All-Star, and 2-time Olympic gold medalist, has agreed to a 4-year, $154 million contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. Quote, end of quote. You know, bam, like that. One sentence, 33 words, and one amazing move. And it set off one hell of a party among Laker fans. I'm guessing last night's fireworks had a little extra juice because the King is, in fact, coming to L.A. Even though it seemed like it was becoming more and more likely, it's still kind of insane when it actually happens. I mean, I could spend the rest of this show and the rest of the week unpacking this entire thing and what it all means. But let's get a few things straight right off the top. Number one, LeBron is not coming to L.A. just so he could launch his Hollywood enterprises. First off, he already has a foothold here, even when he lived in Ohio. And if you're LeBron James, you don't actually have to live in Hollywood to work in Hollywood. You think maybe studios and executives wouldn't take a phone call or a Skype call from LeBron James? Doubt that. No, LeBron is coming to the Lakers because LeBron wants to be a Laker. And that's huge. The best player in the game chose to be a Laker. For years, the Lakers have been rolling out the purple and gold carpet for free agents, and they all passed. All the ones who mattered. Many of whom would not even take a meeting with the Lakers. No names mentioned, Paul George. I'll get to that a little bit later on. But for one reason or another, they didn't want to be Lakers. These key free agents wanted to be a Spur or a Rocket. Pretty much anything except a Laker. LA could not find anybody to take their money. But now LeBron wants to be a Laker. And not because this is the place where he could link up with Paul George or Kawhi Leonard. Because he's coming after it's clear that PG was going to stay in OKC. And there's no guarantee that Kawhi's ever going to come. LeBron is a Laker because LeBron wants to be a Laker. Which is enormous for the Laker fan base. This felt like the last 8 years without a championship were like 80. And it's a big swing for LeBron. When you become a Laker, you follow in some enormous footsteps. KAJ, Magic, Kobe, and now LeBron. I mean, a safer play would have been to stay in Cleveland. There, maybe you cobble something together, and you can try and barrel your way through the Eastern Conference again next year. And if he never got back to the finals, his reputation and his legacy were secure. Nobody would ever say Jack if he stayed there. But he's taking a big swing. And it's not a big gravy training swing. He's not just showing up to win a title this year because this team isn't going to win a title this year. Hate to break it to you, Laker fan. You're going to have to wait on that. When you look at the roster that they have right now, this is where it gets really interesting because it's LeBron and the kids. And that's before we get to the additions of Lance, JaVale, and Rondo. Three guys who go by one name, and generally not for the right reasons. I mean, that is going to be an insane locker room. But if they don't win it this year, it's fine. In fact, it's expected. This team is not going to beat Golden State. But they'll be fascinating to watch, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it all plays out. What happens next summer when there will be a bunch of free agents available? Kyrie didn't want to play with LeBron. Apparently, Paul George didn't want to play with LeBron. What if LeBron can no longer recruit? Can the guy recruit? Can he eventually win another ring with another team? And can he win one with the Lakers? And yes, let's be clear about something else. Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka do deserve credit here because they would have gotten a hell of a lot of heat if they didn't get anybody. And they actually got it done, so tip your hat to them. Jeannie Buss deserves a lot of credit. She was the one who had to make the tough decision to break off her brother and Mitch Kupchak, which set this whole thing in motion. Let me repeat that. She fired her damn brother.
Brother.
You know how hard that is. And if she doesn't do it, it's hard to imagine that LeBron is a Laker today. And as always, the moment LeBron does anything, it immediately becomes a debate about his legacy. But if you're still having that debate, I'm not sure who you're debating with. He just turned in one of the greatest seasons he's ever had, that we've ever seen, in his 15th year in the league. I'm not sure what more this guy can do. But right now, he's taking on something that's far from a sure thing. He's taking on a huge risk, and I couldn't respect that more. Look, you never know with LeBron, but you'd think this would be the final act of his career. And the fact that it's going to play out in L.A. as a Laker is fascinating. It's going to be must-see TV. I don't know how it plays out, but I know two things. LeBron wants to be a Laker, and you want to watch him. I don't care if you love him. I don't care if you hate him. Don't tell me you're not watching this, because you know you are. You know you are.
Strive for greatness out here, cuz.
1-800-636-8686. Like I said, I know this went down 4 or 5 days ago, but it doesn't make it any less fascinating. Let's get at it. 1-800-636-8686. Why did he do it? Can he win here? And LeBron running with the likes of Lance, Rondo, JaVale. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait. Let's check out the emails quickly. And I've got lots of thoughts also on Golden State, getting DeMarcus Cousins. And no, the league is not broken. The Warriors don't cheat. They don't represent everything that's wrong with the NBA. They represent everything that's right with the NBA. Not only have the Warriors not done anything wrong, they have essentially done everything right. That's how you get a guy like that. I've got that for you coming up a little bit later on. This email says, Dear Jim, LeBron going to the Lakers is just like Albert Pujols going to the Angels. Yeah, I said it. Drew in West LA. Hey, maybe. Maybe that's what makes it so awesome. We'll find out. You know, part of the reason why you want him to come here, aside from the fact that he's still the best player in the world, is that he can get other guys to come when nobody else would. But then again, can the guy really? Kyrie didn't want to play with him. Now you might say, yeah, but Kyrie's weird. All right. Paul George didn't want to play with him. Yeah, but he's a little weird too. Yeah, that or maybe they don't want to play with him. Question is, can LeBron still recruit? He's going to have to. LeBron alone is not going to beat Golden State. He's going to need more than the guys they brought in. But don't think for a second that he didn't know that they were going to bring those guys in. This email says, Dear Lakers, yes, you have LeBron and Clipper Darryl. We now have 5 All-Stars in our starting lineup now. Regards to Golden State Warriors. Yeah, people aren't going to like that, Scott. Scott in the Bay. Wore the Boogie Down Productions lineup, setting up the Hamptons 5 to close games out. Yeah, one more thing. Another reason not to hate on these guys, yet they're the favorite now. They were the favorite already. And again, before you kill Golden State, before you kill the NBA, before you kill Adam Silver, for Golden State able to stockpile another All-Star, an All-NBA player, and get him on the cheap, anybody else could have, everybody else could have, including the Lakers, but apparently nobody wanted this guy. And again, stop acting like Golden State just got LeBron. Stop acting like they just got Kevin Durant again. They got DeMarcus Cousins, a guy coming off a significant Achilles injury. Guys generally are not the same ever again after suffering that injury, especially a big. They don't know when they're going to get him. They don't know what they're going to get with him. They don't know how he's going to fit in with them on the floor. They don't know how he's going to fit in with them in the locker room. Stop acting like they just got Michael Jordan in their prime. It's DeMarcus Cousins on a 1-year deal. This is not even going to be a whole year. This email says, Dear guest host, my bad, Romy, you're working today. When they saw you at your desk, I bet Hawk and Alvy had a minor panic attack as they casually strolled into work 15 minutes late in street clothes because they thought the boss was out. Signed, Geoff in Lincoln. War conveniently happens to be sick the day after a holiday guy. End quote. Hey, I see you working, Geoff. I don't know why. I still don't know why you spell your name like that. But I see you working, Geoff. But much like Golden State and Bob Myers, and something I want to get to a little bit later on. When Bob Myers takes a phone call from DeMarcus Cousins, and Boogie says, hey, Bob, would you like a starting all-star center? Would you like him on the cheap? Is Bob supposed to say, nah, I'm good. Nah, I'm good, really. It wouldn't be nice or fair if we took you. Nah, I'm fine. I'd pose the same question to you. If I get this much time off, would you not expect me to use that much time off? Because if I don't use it, I lose it. Would you expect me to say, nah, I'm good? And let me ask you something, Geoff. Hey, Geoff, if you had 3 weeks of vacation, would you then go to somebody and say, nah, you know what, I'm going to take 2. And I don't care if I don't lose that third one. I don't care if I don't get paid for it. I don't care if it doesn't roll over. Nah, I'm good. Really, I'm good. I don't need that third week. Or even if I don't need it, I don't want it. Now, I'm guessing, Geoff, you would use it. That's what I did. And the guys knew it, and the guys showed up on time, and they were not in streets. I don't know why it is. I think that when I go away, I'll come back and the emails will be better, but they never are. I don't know why I think that. One more. At Smackoff Fan. Welcome back, Jim. Are you going to be there long enough to actually sit down? Hey, Raj, the entire segment. Here I am. Hey, and guess what? I'll be back next segment. And then the segment after that. 3 full hours in my chair, sitting down. Let's take a break. Got Daniel Cormier coming up at 40 past. 2018 flying right by. I mean, damn, it's July. Already into July. You want to make sure that you elevate your game to that next level and make this year the best year ever. You want to make sure you finish. I've got a word out to a contractor or a builder or a remodeler. Listen to this, because elevating your game for the second half of the year got a whole lot easier thanks to my buddies at Lumber Liquidators and their new LL Pro Plus program. Maybe you've heard me talk about this. Maybe you haven't. Let me set it up for you. LL Pro Plus is Lumber Liquidators' new pro services team that you can call on for all your professional flooring needs. LL Pro Plus will help you crush it the rest of this year, and they'll do so with professional pricing, dedicated support to get you what you need when you need it, so you can get your projects finished on time. LL Pro Plus gives you the ultimate value and quality, and with this program, no job is too large, no job is too small, so you can put the flooring experts on your team today. Visit your local Lumber Liquidator store or go to lumberliquidators.com. Once again, lumberliquidators.com. Let's continue to make 2018 the best year ever with Lumber Liquidators.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Daniel Cormier, UFC light heavyweight champ, fighting Stipe Miocic. And that's about 48 hours out. Daniel Cormier joining me next segment. This email says, Rome, we approve. LeBron was welcome here because he's the best player in the universe. He will fit right in with us. He just needs to fix that hair. Signed, SoCal. John in Huntington Beach. You know, I would say we don't give a damn what he looks like, but we do. We care what we all look like. We live in SoCal. Of course we care. That matters. The things that matter to us are the important things. What kind of a car we drive, what kind of a phone we have, how much hair we have, what sort of injections that we pound into our respective grills. You know, the important stuff. At least that's what's important to John in Huntington Beach.
Hey, John.
HB must have gone off for the fourth, right? Romy, LeBron going to L.A. was pretty surprising. Yours, Mike in Indy, showing up in dramatic fashion on July 20th. Signed, Tyler in Edmonton. My man, Ty, right back where he usually is. The Canadian, Tyler in Edmonton, coming in and still poking the bear, throwing that first punch. I've got a take on all that a little bit later on. Smack off is now 15 days out. Still no word from Mike. Remember, I've been calling out Mike and Vic. Vic then showed up, and then he showed up again. Still no Mikey in Indy sighting. Is it all part of his plan, or is this guy really not coming around? Tyler in Edmonton also wars left going last on Smackoff Day, so he can do what he does best and craft his entire script based off the pictures of the rest of the field. That's strong. Tyler and Matt. Tyler in Edmonton and Matt in Vancouver are both going to be a factor, I think, come Smackoff Day. July 20th, 15 days out, make sure you're off for work. It's one thing to listen to this thing, but you want to make sure you listen to it the right way in the right place. Hey, Rome. Did you say the Smackoff is only 15 days away? No! Thanks. Fluke in Fort Collins from the Choppa. And Desperate Dan in Denver. And the other scrub callers hoping to claw their way into the Smackoff. Thanks. Jake in Seattle. Wore me stalking the man cave with 48 beers for the Smackoff and only inviting one buddy over. As long as you stay there and don't come out. Hey, that works. You want to make sure that you're in the right place for that program. It's the most important day of the year in the jungle. It's the first time it's ever been on TV. And there is a new rule. You are not allowed to bum rush me or the set. Nobody's allowed in the studio except me. And again, you can call it the Leff and Laguna rule, but it was not made just for Leff. It was made for all of you. I didn't want him and I didn't want anybody else coming in. So now nobody gets to come in. That's the rule. One other thing. A number of you that are in the field have been asking about video capability, production value. You cannot send me video just because we're on TV. It would not work that way. I mean, understand this. Like, the TV show, the simulcast, I'm really proud of this show. Really proud of the way we work with the folks in New York. But let's be real, right? It's not perfect. Nothing is. It's really good, and I'm really proud of it. But you can imagine the kind of thing, the challenge it is to have a TV group produce a TV show from 3,000 miles away. The last thing we're going to have is you coming in here and acting like you're going to produce your phone call with somebody 3,000 miles away who knows nothing about you. Don't send me video. If you want to have a produced element to the program, you got to go old school with it. In other words, don't think of it as a TV show. What you're doing is going to be on TV, but think of it still as the radio program. Do the call as you would if you were doing a call for the radio show. That's really key. I don't want you going to all this time and trouble and expense to create some kind of video component that's not going to get used because it's not going to get used. But if you want to use an audio component or you've got a way to produce something up live right there wherever you are, go ahead and do that. That's all you need to know. And that you can't be in it unless you're invited. And you're only invited if you've won the thing already or you've got a golden ticket or you're somebody who's already in the field. You can be in the field without having won it. And if you're relatively new to the program, you probably have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. It is the Smack Off. It's 15 days away. It's the 24th year in a row we've done this. We're only the best of the best are allowed on. The best callers on this show are allowed on, and the winner gets $5,000, and who knows what else. Maybe a chance to host their own show, their own podcast, their own platform. It's happened before. It can happen again. 1-800-636-8686. Think I'll take a telephone call. Let's go to Calgary. Shane in Calgary. You're first up, Shane. How are you?
Pip, I'm doing well, Pip. How are you doing today?
Good, great. Good to be back.
Good, good. Hey, I don't want to ever challenge the pimp. I know it's your show, but to sit back and say the NBA's not broken, quick take. I think it was already broken last year. Now you take a team that sweeps the NBA Finals, four games, and you add a 25-point-a-game player. You add a 13-rebound-a-game player. And I really believe after December, when he comes back, I think if they put an effort into it, which they won't because the regular season means nothing, you could potentially have a team go undefeated and then sweep the playoffs without question. I mean, I think the league is damaged, and I know it's a free market, and I know you can say other teams didn't want him, but I almost think there's a point where the NBA has to step in and say, no, this isn't happening. You can't have five All-Stars. I mean, let's be honest, the Warriors starting lineup could be the All-Star team and could beat the Eastern Conference All-Stars. I think it's bad for the league. It's a bad look. And when you look at how the NHL playoffs went last year, I think there's going to be people tuning out of the NBA and tuning back into hockey. Right now, there's probably 15 teams in the NHL.
The thing is, though, Shane, let me jump in because I'm out of time. The thing is, that's not what the ratings suggest. That's not what the ratings suggest. That's not what viewership suggests. The NBA is as popular now as it's ever been. Ratings were very strong last year. So I don't buy that. And you know, what's the argument? I think you're confusing the NBA is broken with Golden State is that much better than everybody else. It's not one and the same. I mean, do you expect Adam Silver to jump in and say, nope. You can't do that. You can't sign this guy. Oh, really? Why not? I mean, can this guy just kill any deal that he thinks, quote, is not in the best interest of the NBA? It's not incumbent upon Golden State to try less hard. It's not incumbent upon them not to do their best. And this, to me, is the most hilarious part of the whole thing. Golden State is everything that's wrong with the NBA. The NBA is broken because Golden State is too good. Man, they were the laughing stock of that league for decades. They were one of the worst things about the NBA for decades. And then they rebuilt it. Ownership group comes in, they put the right people in the right places, they build the right culture, and now, yes, they're that much better than everybody else. Yeah, when the Chicago Bulls were winning 70 games, I didn't hear anybody say, you know what, it's broken. Can't have that. Can't have Mike and Scott and the Worm and Horace and Cartwright on the same team. Can't have that. Nobody's got a shot. It's not broken. And if, in fact, It is broken. It's not because Golden State broke it. And again, we're talking about DeMarcus Cousins on a one-year deal when you have no idea exactly when he's going to play, coming off a significant injury. Who knows if he'll be the player that he was prior to the injury? Most guys aren't, especially big guys. And who knows whether or not this guy fits in with them on the floor or in that locker room. It's not like this guy doesn't have a red flag or five. Who knows if he even starts? Nothing is guaranteed. 1-800-636-8686. Oh, and this whole thing about, yeah, well, they're favored and there's no reason to watch. They were favored with or without this guy. What's really changed? People are acting like DeMarcus Cousins is the second coming of Michael Jordan in his prime. Like they just signed LeBron, Mike, and Kobe in one fall swoop. Got them all under the cap. Amazing. He's DeMarcus Cousins. I mean, yeah, he's a very good big. A very good big who has significant injury, who's bounced around, who's got a lot of red flags. This is not LeBron coming to Golden State. This is not Kevin Durant signing with Golden State. Right, when we come back, Daniel Cormier has got a big fight coming up. A fight that he arguably does not even need. We'll get into that with him in a moment. Summer is here, and so is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the summer months. You know how the heat can just suck the life right out of you? Imagine then what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temps can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts right now and have your battery tested free of charge. Free. If it does need replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, simply go to O'ReillyAuto.com. O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. O'ReillyAuto.com. Time now for a sports update. Here's the very latest for you on this Thursday morning.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Bubba Watson shooting for his fourth win of the year as the PGA Tour's best, including fan favorite Phil Mickelson, joined in a celebration to honor the military men and women who helped defend our freedom, a military tribute at the Greenbrier this weekend on CBS. Daniel Cormier joins me momentarily. This email says, "Dear LeBron, congrats on signing your new deal with LA. Now you get to lose to Golden State in the first round of the playoffs instead of waiting for the finals. Regards, Andy in Milwaukee." There's something to that, isn't there? "Dear Alvin, no. Regards, LeBron, after hearing Alvy's persuasive and begging plea to ask him to stay."
Please stay, LeBron.
"Nick in the land of the Norsemen wore LeBron at least living in a comfortable environment while losing these next couple of years." All right, there's something to that, right? Like, why is he coming to L.A.? Why is he coming to L.A.? You know, one school of thought is the guy's already set. The guy's legacy is intact. It doesn't really matter what he does going forward. Why not come to L.A.? Good environment. Nice weather. Has a house here. Has business here. Wants to get his kids in the right schools. And I'm not saying that all of that is not a factor. I'm just saying that's not exclusively the factor. What I'm saying is, even though he's coming to L.A. and he's got no chance to win anything that matters right away, it doesn't mean that the guy's no longer in championship mode. In fact, I give the guy a lot of credit. He didn't take the easy way out. If anything, he took the path of greater resistance. Almost anywhere this guy could have gone other than Cleveland would have been easier for him to win a ring than to come to L.A. Anywhere. Houston, Philly, Boston. So if the guy was just about padding his stats, if the guy was just about trying to gravy train somebody else for an easy and convenient ring, if there is such a thing, he would have gone anywhere other than L.A. And it doesn't mean that he came to L.A. because he doesn't care. I think the guy does. I think that's part of the play. There's a legacy play here. This email, "Dear Jim, It is nice that you're back today. However, there is absolutely no decrease in the quality of the show when you are not there. Signed, the Cleveland Cavaliers without LeBron. Denlesk's irreplaceable busboy. That's how he signed it. My man, how hard were you sweating it when I didn't read one of your emails in the first segment back? How concerned were you about that? And then how concerned were you when I didn't read an email from you in the second segment back? He wars the Cavaliers desperately trying to obtain a shooting guard in exchange for J.R. Smith and a math tutor to be named later. We are efforting Daniel Cormier. In the meantime, you're 15 days out. Man, nothing would make me happier than to drop a golden ticket on somebody today, except for ripping a golden ticket from somebody today. Hey, Rome. Fake chiclets? Check. Botox all over my face? Check. All I need now, bro, is the table at Javier's. Regards, LeBron. Gino in Boise, Idaho. Hey, Gino, how do you know this guy's got fake chiclets? How do you know this guy has got Botox all over his face? You forgot hair plugs, too. Not that he has them. I'm not even suggesting that he needs them, because personal appearance is never going to be show fodder, not while I'm the host. Hey, Gino, Boise is beautiful, man. I love Idaho. Coeur d'Alene, Boise, Sun Valley. I mean, beautiful, beautiful spots. But you got to understand who we are, what we're about, and where we live. These things are all normal where we live. And why wouldn't you do everything you could to make yourself feel better about you? If fake chiclets make you feel better and you've got the resources, why wouldn't you do that? If calf implants make you feel better and you have the resources, why wouldn't you do that? As promised, we are joined right now by the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world. He is 21-0, two-time Olympian, Strikeforce heavyweight Grand Prix winner. He is a Fox Sports host, and you've got UFC 226 coming up. Miocic versus Cormier Saturday. It is live on pay-per-view. We are joined right now by the champ, Daniel Cormier. DC, good morning. What's up? How are you?
I'm good, Jim. How you feeling?
Daniel, I'm great. It's good to have you on the show, as always. Thanks so much. Let me get right at this. You're about 48 hours away from the start of the fight on Saturday night. How is fight week shaping up for you? How are things going?
It's going great. You know, not having to cut all this weight has been fun, you know, but right now I'm trying to stay within myself, you know, like as you progress in the week, things start to pick up, you know, from the open workouts to the press conference to the weigh-in. You really got to try to maintain your composure and not exert too much energy, put too much stress on your body, you know, so I'm just trying to lay back and kind of stay within myself.
Daniel Cormier, my guest. I'm kind of chuckling about the weight thing. I'll get to that in a minute. That is kind of funny. Listen, though, you are the light heavyweight champion of the world. You're taking on Stipe for the heavyweight belt. You don't need this fight, so why do you want this fight?
I like to chase dreams, man, trying to do things that will ensure that when my time is done, when I'm done fighting and everything, people will always remember the things that I did, you know, and challenges. We all try to challenge ourselves in one way or the other, you know, and this was presented to me and I thought, man, this is such a massive opportunity. I could never pass it up. I love this chance. I've had a lot of opportunities to do special things, and this is another one of those. Hopefully I can cash it in this time.
Daniel Cormier, my guest, in terms of the opportunity. So how did the fight first come about, and what were those first conversations with Dana White like? When did they start?
Man, let me tell you something, Jim. Dana works quick. I got done fighting Volkan Oezdemir in Boston on January 20th. And the moment I walked to the back to do my post-fight media and everything, he grabbed me and he goes, what do you think about a fight against Stipe? And I was like, really? I was like, I fought like 30 minutes ago.
Wow.
I was like, I literally fought 30 minutes ago. And he was like, what do you think about a fight with Stipe? So I said, you know what? I go, very interested, I said, but let's make the numbers work. If we make the numbers work, then we'll be fighting each other. And he's like, okay, I'll give you a call on Monday. And sure, he sure did. Monday morning, called me and said, not only do I want you to fight Stipe, I want you to fight him on the biggest weekend of the year, and we also want you guys to coach the Ultimate Fighter. I was like, I don't want to go to Vegas for a month. He's like, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse. He gave me the numbers. He said, I'll see you in Vegas on Monday. I said, I need to speak to my wife. He goes, I'll see you in Vegas on Monday. And I hate that he was right, because that Monday, I sure as hell was in Vegas.
That's amazing. Just like that. Daniel Cormier joining us. That came together so fast. Daniel, what about the odds makers? Now, they've got Stipe as the favorite for the fight. What's your reaction when you see that? Do you feel like you're being disrespected, or is there a part of you that likes being the underdog?
You know, he should be the favorite. I just don't understand how the odds are so big. It's just like, he's a great fighter, but it's like, really, is he really going to beat me that many times? If we fight nine times, is he going to beat me eight out of nine times? It seems like these odds represent that he would just beat me over and over again. He's just a better fighter. Anything can happen in a fight, and I think when you look at our fighting styles, this is a much closer matchup than people think it is.
Hey, listen, when I look at the fighting styles, and styles do make fights, I see styles that are pretty similar. I mean, when you look at him, do you see any of you in him?
Yeah, and you're right. You hit the nail on the head, Jim. Our fighting styles are pretty similar. And I feel like in that fighting style, the boxer-wrestler, I feel like I'm the best guy in the UFC that does that. I mean, I don't kick all that much, but Stipe also doesn't kick all that much. You know, I feel like we both wrestle and we box. And I feel like I can do that with anybody in the world, regardless of weight class. So, yeah, I see a lot of myself in him. He's just a lot bigger.
Daniel Cormier joining us right now. A big, big fight coming up this weekend. I go back to that first thing that you said, Daniel, and you've joked that you're the only fighter who gets applause for making weight. So how much pressure was off when you didn't have to hit 205 for that weigh-in, and how has that impacted your training?
Early, it was tough because being heavy, you're having to carry around a lot of extra weight. You know, generally, I train around 230. I weigh 245 now. You know, so it's like 15 extra pounds and trying to do everything I did as a light heavyweight, it was very difficult. But as I got in shape, as the camp went longer, it became less of an issue, and now I feel fantastic.
Daniel Cormier, my guest. Now, you fought as a heavyweight before, so how different are you as a fighter now that you're coming back to fight at heavyweight once again? I mean, do you have a different level of focus or discipline or your approach? What's different this time?
I'm just a better mixed martial artist, Jim. Like, I've gotten so much better since the time I fought at heavyweight. You know, my last fight at heavyweight was against Roy Nelson. That was in 2013. I mean, I have shared the octagon with some of the best fighters in the world in a lighter weight class where guys are a little more skilled, they're a little bit faster, and I've beaten almost every one of them. Everyone but Jones I've beaten. And those lessons will carry me back up into this weight class. I mean, you learn so much about yourself in 5 years. I feel like I'm so much better today than I was back then.
Daniel Cormier, my guest. Listen, you and I are talking about a huge fight you've got coming up this weekend, and that's where your focus is. But you mentioned Jones. So let me just ask you, is he on any level still in the back of your mind? And do you feel like you have unfinished business with him? Is that ever going to change?
I mean, anytime anybody beats you twice, you're going to feel like you have unfinished business with him. But he's in the back of my mind, Jim, where he needs to stay. Because if he's in the middle of my head or on the side, he's too close to the front where Stipe Miocic is the first issue. That's the first order of business, and it needs to be. So in the back of my head, yes, but by no means am I worried about him as I go into this massive fight with Stipe.
Massive fight coming up this weekend. Have you allowed yourself to think about what it might feel like to have both straps on your shoulders at the end of the fight on Saturday night? What do you think that would feel like?
Oh, just amazing, man. I've been competing at a really high level for a really long time. And to do this, something that some of the greatest fighters of all time couldn't have done or wouldn't have attempted to do, would be amazing. It would be so refreshing and so, like, fulfilling. I'm smiling now just thinking about it.
Yeah, Daniel, it seems to me that, and it's a big if, but it seems like the straps, those two straps are different. For instance, the light heavyweight division is generally regarded as the division with the best fighters in the world, but being the heavyweight champ comes with the other title of the baddest man on the planet. How much would it mean to you to prove that you've earned that title as well?
Oh, Jim, no, that would be crazy. Because I'm a big boxing guy, watching my whole life. And before, when I was growing up, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis. The heavyweight boxing champ was regarded as the baddest man on the planet. Can't say that anymore. The heavyweight champ is not the baddest man on the planet. The baddest man on the planet is the UFC heavyweight champion, because in a free fight, that mixed martial artist is going to win that fight. That title means so much because as a kid, I looked up to Tyson and Holyfield and those guys and thought, man, this is the baddest man walking the face of God's earth. And I could call myself that on Sunday morning.
Daniel Cormier, UFC light heavyweight champ, getting ready for one of the biggest challenges of his career. It's UFC 226. Miocic versus Cormier Saturday night. It is live. It's on pay-per-view. This one is a big one. DC, so good to visit with you. Thanks for making time for us here in the jungle. Good luck this weekend. We will be watching closely.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate
Daniel, great
it.
Talking to you. Appreciate you very much, Daniel. Thank you. Daniel Cormier, I love that last point that he made. He used to be the heavyweight champion of the world. The heavyweight champion of the world in boxing was the baddest man on the planet. He said, not anymore. Not anymore. It's not the way it used to be. Now, the baddest man on the planet is the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. All right, so where do you come out there? Phone lines are open all next hour. Isaiah Pede, Jarvis Landry in hour number 3. Do not go anywhere. Your phone calls are next.